I get this thing on. Okay, Psalm 1. As I was thinking about what to talk about tonight, you know, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, our greatest desire should be to walk close to Him, to love Him. I always bring to mind, you know, Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and Peter was very spontaneous, would say some wrong things and whatnot. The Lord was so patient with him. And of course, you know, when after the Lord was crucified and died, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And James and John said, "We're going with you." And of course, you remember the story, the glorified, risen Christ appeared out there on the seashore. And anyway, when Peter came before him, the Lord Jesus asked him 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" And what amazes me, and I'm sure some of you have heard me talk about this before, but in the Greek, the word the Lord Jesus used was, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with that God kind of love, absolute love?" And Peter come back and says, "No, I love you with a brotherly love." In other words, "Thou knowest that I phileo you." And the Lord asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" Again, he used the word agape. And again, Peter says, "I phileo." And then the 3rd time, the Lord came down to his level and used his word. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. The mercy of our God is amazing. Just amazing. God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son to that awful cross. And he was that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so when we look at a psalm like this, we want to be blessed of God. We want to walk close to him. And these are some of the benefits of that kind of spiritual walk. Blessed is the man, and by the way, the ladies, the man, there's generic. Blessed are the people that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It is so easy to fall into the counsel of the ungodly. I am amazed at how, especially this last election, when the Democratic Party is openly encouraging abortion, even to the point where now we're going to be, and I'm speaking openly about it. If I get in trouble, that's fine. The president is now signed one of those things he signs, I forget what it is, where give money to other countries for abortion. And now the military is to accept, what do they call themselves, transgender people? Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Folks, that's the counsel of the ungodly. And it is so easy, the world gets caught up in it. I never thought this election would turn out this way. And yet it just breaks my heart, but that's where we are. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. The world is just going sliding down to hell in a hurry. But blessed is the man or woman or child that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Turn to Genesis 17. Yeah, wanted to pick somebody in the scripture that walked not in the counsel of the ungodly, and you couldn't find a better one than Abraham. Verse 1, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. Well, his name was Abram at that time. God changed it to Abraham later on. Said unto him, "I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now, that word perfect, folks, doesn't mean absolutely perfect. I think it means live up to your spiritual potential. But walk before me. I don't know about you, but I try to do this, and there's so many distractions. Walking to be conscious of God in our presence all the time. And what we forget, those of us that are born again believers, He lives within us. And every time we turn on a TV program or something that's bad, we grieve Him. And the Lord is encouraging us to walk before Him. And He says, verse 6, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And boy, that literally happened. Have you ever thought that you could take, you know, the Lord Jesus used it, like when you talk about Simon Bar-Jonah, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. He always mentioned their father. And by the way, the fathers are the ones that are responsible before the Lord primarily for leading their family. But you realize that you can trace your line all the way back to Adam, all the way back there. And every person that's born in this world is born by the will of God. And that's why it is so serious to kill them in the womb. Because God doesn't make a mistake. Everyone that's born, His intent is for that person to be saved, that person to walk before Him, and He has something great for that person if that person will turn to Him. Like He does here for Abraham, He says, "Hell, nations come out of thee." So blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, notice, and nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, I had another verse, Genesis 24, and I forgot what it is. Genesis 24. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom, this is Abraham's servant that he sent out to find a bride for Isaac. Am I right, you Bible students there? I think that's who he's in. I just pulled this verse out of context, and he said unto me, that's the servant speaking to, was it Rebecca, her dad, and he says, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and my father's house. You notice, the Lord before whom I walk. And that's why I pulled that verse out. It's so important that we be conscious of that as we go about our daily business. But you notice in that verse 1, he says, blessed is the man or woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression of that verse. First he walks, then he stands, and finally sits down. You know the story of, I'm thinking of Abraham, so I'll use Lot, his nephew. Lot was also a believer in God, but he wasn't like his uncle Abraham. And as the two of them grew in riches, were prospered by God, they both had a lot of servants and a lot of animals, and they grew so large that there was fighting going on between the servants of Lot and the servants of Abraham. Abraham says, Lot, we're going to have to separate and move further apart to keep the peace. And Abraham, being the kind of guy he is, he said, Lot, you take first choice. What land you want, and I'll take what you don't want. And, of course, you know the story. Lot saw the plains towards Sodom and Gomorrah. They were well watered. Lot was looking at dollar signs. Boy, my animals will do well there. There's plenty of water, but that's on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Scripture says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, when you look at that at first, you might think that he set up his tent between there and Sodom and lived there. That's not what it means. It means he pitched his tent and gradually moved that tent closer and closer to Sodom. And when the angels finally came to rescue Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was sitting in the gate. He was on the city council. And that's, this verse applies to Lot in a negative sense. He wound up sitting in the seat of the scornful. It's so easy for us, and believe me, I know that because I know me. I have a fallen, sinful nature that pulls on me every day. It's so easy to give in to that and to walk that direction with the world. And that's what the scripture says, that if we don't, we're blessed. And believe me, that scripture is so true. We're in the world, but not of the world. And let's look at 2 Corinthians. And of course, verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:15. I think. And this again is that idea for the believer to live a separated life. The apostle asks a good question there, verse 15. What concord has Christ with Belial? And believe me, this world is Belial. Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement had the temple of God with idols? Remember I said a while ago, you and I are the temple of God. He lives within us. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. By the way, don't misunderstand this latter part. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, God is your father. So what does he mean here? Well, he means you will be your father, he will be your father in your practice. You are positionally in Christ, and he is your father. But he wants to be your father in your life as you walk among this world and walk close to him. And he says, then you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, in practice. So in other words, live and practice what your position is. Your position is in Christ. Now live like it is the idea here. And that's what Psalm 1 is saying, that blessed are the people that live like that. His delight is in the law of the Lord. By the way, if standeth not in the seat of the scornful or the sinners of this world, come out from among them, be separate. Have you ever saw the sinner of this world as a contagious leper?
As a what?
Contagious leper. Leprosy in the Old Testament was a contagious disease, very easily picked up like COVID is today. And that's why anybody that had leprosy had to be put out of the camp. And leprosy is forever the type of what sin brings on. And so if we would see, and I don't, there's, I got to be careful here, because we are to love the sinner and try to lead him to Christ. But at the same time, don't stay so close to him that you catch his disease. And that takes some doing. Because if you allow yourself to walk with them very long, you wind up in the wrong places, like Lot did. So see them as a contagious leper and be careful around sinners, yet try to lead them to the Lord. And then verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. I believe me, folks, and my brother was asking something, my Gene and I earlier, and I came from Catholic background, was raised in a Catholic church, even went to a Catholic seminary, wanted to be a priest. And boy, the Lord had other ideas. And of course, we were not encouraged to study the Bible, though I was taught by nuns. And they would always tell us, kids in school said, don't study the Bible. That's not for you. The church tells you what to believe. Now, I think that has changed today, but oh, they were strict on that in my day back in the 40s. And so I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. And then a couple of friends in work that I did back in the 70s, 60s, and Brother Butch especially, those most of you know him, started witnessing to me about Christ and the scriptures, and I got into the scriptures. And folks, I just can't get over what the Word of God can do for you. And our delight should be in the law of the Lord. When it says the word law, that doesn't mean the legal part of the Bible. It means the whole Bible, the whole content. But we should delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate, notice, day and night. Ouch. I'm afraid that I'm not at that point. I do think about it a lot, but not day and night. And I'm trying to improve on that. And in day and night. But watch the pronouns there in verse 2. But his delight and hers is in the law of the Lord, and in whose his law does he meditate day and night? The matter of sowing and reaping could become in view here. Look at Galatians chapter 6, if you would. Galatians chapter 6. Yeah, the law of sowing and reaping is in view here. Verse 7 of Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I started reading the Bible. I had no idea, but faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to be saved. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed of faith, and it's got to be sown in the heart. And once that seed of faith sprouts into everlasting life, then we have to fertilize that plant of life with the Word of God. It should never stop, in other words. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap the flesh corruption. And believe me, the negative of sowing to the Spirit is so true too. I catch myself sometimes, you know, yielding to the flesh, and boy, it just destroys your sense of God's presence immediately, and the joy disappears. And the best time is when we're walking close to him and walking in his will. So he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And of course, it begins with salvation, but continues with sanctification all the way into the next life. Have you ever thought about life everlasting? It's beyond our comprehension, Larry. In fact, God has no beginning and he has no end. Now, to comprehend with our little finite minds, no beginning. And God lives in the eternal present tense. I used to use the phrase eternity past, eternity future, and I've come to correct that. That's dead wrong. When we go into eternity, we're going to begin right there and keep going without an end. But eternity has no past, has no future. Eternity is a perpetual present tense. That, again, our little finite mind cannot comprehend. Those are things, that's just how amazing God is. And someday when we get up there, he'll explain a lot of that to us. Right now, but he says, let us not, verse 9, be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So again, sowing through the Spirit, not only does God bless you now, but in due season you're going to reap a reward. I sent Greg a text to that effect while ago, Charlotte. His wife and his son both are so sick, and what he has gone through the years of illness. And I just keep encouraging, son, don't give up. Stay in there, because God will bless. Sorrow endured for night, joy cometh in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. But he does break down at times, just cries, you know. Yeah, yeah. And I understand that. Believe me, I understand that. And then he says, verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. So that's in view there also in the walking and the counsel of God. And then... verse 3, I love that verse. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God's trees are evergreen, you and I. And my work as a sales rep company, I would wear out a new car every year and a half. I was on the road every day. And I drove all over Texas and even to some other states. And I remember noticing, even in an arid area where it's all dry, and then in the distance you see this line of green trees, and sure enough, there's a river there. The trees are picking up the water. Well, that's what we are like spiritually. We shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and those rivers or the Word of God, and that bringeth forth his fruit, or hers, in his season, and his fruit also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But notice he says that the ungodly are not so. And I tell you what, folks, I fear for the people that vote for abortion and homosexuality and all that kind of stuff. They're going to stand before God someday, and I don't wish that on anybody. Hell has no end either. It's everlasting. Jesus warned more about hell than he did anything else. He talked more about it than heaven. They shall be like chaff which the wind driveth away. My neighbor called me, my neighbor Larry. He's a really good neighbor, watching me like a hawk since I've had these strokes, because he found me passed out in the yard one day. But anyway, he called me one day, and I have a red oak tree, and the leaves falling this time of the year, and the north wind blowing all the leaves into his yard. He called me, he said, all your leaves are coming in here. I told him, they're free, Larry, I don't charge for them. they shall be like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. In other words, they won't have a leg to stand on. And nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If we only knew how wonderful heaven is, I think we would live differently. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for them that love him. Neither has it entered into a heart of man. The Apostle Paul was given a glimpse of it, and he said, it is indescribable. He didn't try to talk about it because he couldn't put it into words. That's why when we get to heaven, folks, whatever your highest comprehension of heaven is beyond any of that. The more I study the Word of God, the more I realize that the reason the Lord doesn't give us more about heaven is because our little finite minds could not comprehend it. But the greatest joy of heaven is going to be the presence of Christ, our Savior, the one that loved us so.